Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Path. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And this room, this is going to be the last episode in this room, I think.
Yeah, so you're doing some remodeling.
Yeah, so we're gonna mix it up. We're going to see where things take us next.
All right.
And, you know, I was at the store, and I picked up a beer that I wouldn't normally pick up. This is way out of what I'm usually buying. It's a oat ale with pumpkin, coffee, lactose, vanilla, cinnamon, clove, and ginger. Pipeworks pumpkin spice latte.
This is bizarro world, Brad. This beer is 6.6%. Yeah, and it's every, you know what I will say? Well, the artwork is got a unicorn on it drinking pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, I don't, it's some, yes, basically like Becky kind of person.
Yeah, with the plaid top with the flannel on, drinking pumpkin spice latte. This is Pipeworks. Pipeworks is known for this kind of behavior, but in the past it was always a little too bizarre.
Yeah.
I think they came out with like a Mayan-inspired sweet potato beer their first year out, and I'm just like, this is, they need to be stopped. What is happening here? But this, it is all the things they say it is, Brad.
Right.
On the label. And I'm actually here for it, man, in a weird way.
The first sip, you're maybe like a little overpowered. Yeah. You're like, oh, that's a lot of like the clove kind of hits you.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea why I picked this up, but if this was a oak aged, I would see this at FOBAB and be like, this is one of the good ones.
Yeah. I could see that. I could see maybe a splash of dark rum in this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not mad at this beer at all. You expect it to be like a spice bomb, but it's pleasantly not. It just all kind of goes, it blends well together.
Yeah. I saw this sitting next to an oak-aged Marzen. I was like, I don't know. I wasn't feeling like another Oktoberfest.
Yeah.
But I wanted the fall experience here.
Yeah.
And your Southern Tier pumpkin story sucking so much inspired me to.
Oh, did I share that? Because I was going to say it again. I'm like, yo, this beer is out of control.
Maybe we needed a new pumpkin.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice spin on the pumpkin experience.
Yeah. And I don't think it's overly pumpkin-y. It kind of just, I love that the color looks like a pumpkin.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. I was expecting something more like a nut brown color. So to see like a, that orangey yellow is kind of nice. And then on the last episode, we were drinking a Revolution, one of their Deepwood series to go along with our Oktoberfest there. And I figured, let's do that again.
Nice.
And since this one was a pumpkin spice latte, mm-hmm. I grabbed a supermassive Caffè Deeth.
Yeah, coffee all around.
Right. So we got to up our coffee level here.
Who doesn't love a coffee beer?
Right.
I mean, anytime, any place, bring on the coffee beer.
So you might be able to just mix them together and amp up your coffee.
Everybody calm down, all right? I mean, who knows?
This is from 2020.
Oh.
So, oh yeah, that's fucking 5 years ago?
No, every bit. So this is, because they ran this back again recently.
This is a pandemic one. This is drive up in your car and order it. There's not much coffee left in that.
Booze and sweet oak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's starting to fall apart a little bit, but
It's not bad, but it's also like...
It's not what it was.
It's not.
No, I mean, there's still roast, but not full-blown coffee overload like it was. That's one of my favorite beers that they've ever made.
Yeah.
Is that one. So. Yeah, it's just like, because Rev's good at, you know, layering flavors. But this is one where they're like, we don't care that it leans in one direction. We don't care that it's over the top of coffee. And I'm like, that's what I'm talking about.
So maybe the coffee will come out more in this pumpkin now.
Yeah.
No, you get that, like, the pumpkin spice stuff.
Stuff.
That cinnamon spiciness.
Mm.
But, okay. So do not keep Supermassive Cafe Teeth for 5 years.
No, unless you just want to, unless it's for science, unless you just want to see how it changes, because that's the Delilah's thing, right? Whenever they do their rare beer tasting, they're like, beer never gets old, Nick, it just changes.
Yeah.
So if you're in it for that, then sure.
I'm not in it for the science, I'm just, I have these. they need to go, it's a blowout sale.
Yeah.
All right, so we got our fake coffee here.
Yes.
What you been up to?
Man, what's new with you? I can't stand what's new with you, by the way. I never know what to say when someone says, oh, what's new with you? I'm sorry. That was out of nowhere. I'm sorry. What have I been up to?
That's why you got always have new stuff. You got to be doing new stuff so you're ready. You'd be like, oh, yeah, I got a car.
Fucking, you know.
I don't know. I think I'm like... Oh, yeah, we're looking at buying a place in Anchorage or Alaska or something. Just throw out random stuff. Be like, I'm thinking about it. I'm getting a boat.
Man, I'm working on my what's new with you pitch because I got nothing. I went to Half Acre. I think we should start there.
Okay, as we're drinking out of double Half Acre glasses
We got the really pretty Half Acre cup that... it looks like a Tekku glass without the stem.
Well, yeah, look, they go together.
Yeah.
It's like the... It's not. It hasn't grown up yet.
No, and it's got a rose on it, which I don't know why, but this is a glorious little cup here, and it's so cute. Went to Half Acre, Lagertown. I missed Lagertown the fest, but I went for the Lagertown in the mug, and then I picked up something from them called. It was like a collab with Troon. Troon's like a cool kid brewery in East Coast, like upstate New York, I think. A beer with mushrooms.
Oh.
Yeah, candy cap mushrooms.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Like the one Sketchbook did a long time ago.
That's the last time I saw this. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we had a Sketchbook on the show. We went to the original Sketchbook, and they were brewing with mushrooms. And they're like, yo, you'd be surprised how this particular mushroom comes off like butterscotch when you put it in a beer. And that kind of blew my mind a little bit, because I don't think sweet flavors at all when I'm cooking mushrooms. I think earthy, you know, right. I think chewy.
Yeah.
I don't think candy.
Umami.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I don't think candy. So, this beer was really fun. Barrel aged stout with candy cap mushrooms and vanilla. There's a new, we got to add a new vanilla to the list, Brad.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I think that's why I brought this up. So, I got to go to the pictures real quick. But
you got Madagascar is the main one.
Yeah, and then the good folks at Revolution said, well, what about Papua New Guinea?
Right, and then the Tahitian. Tahitian.
Yeah, there's a Tahitian one. But yeah, we got to add this one to the list. And I know it's a radio show, so I need to be hitting you with data nonstop and no dead air. But I got to pull this up.
All right. Did you try a Gossamer, too, right there?
I did not try Gossamer.
Okay, I saw Gossamer was on tap at Sleepy Village.
Yeah. Oh.
Sleeping Village, and I was like, am I getting it? I was like, yeah, I'll get something else. But
Brazilian vanilla.
Brazilian. Okay. Yeah,
Brazil.
Probably similar to Madagascar, I would think.
I don't know. I mean, because Brazil is like South America.
Others, yeah, something.
You know, and that Madagascar is like off of Africa. It's like a little island off Africa.
But I would think similar climate. Vanilla climates.
We're diving off into the nuances of vanilla harvesting here. You know, if this goes over your head, don't worry about it. You
right, yeah. We're in too deep. Sorry. We'll come back. Did you get that butterscotch from the mushrooms?
Man, this beer was great, man. Because it's a big-ass beer. It's like 14%. But I don't know, man. There was something about the execution on it was just really good. I don't really know if I have a lot of like you know, attributes to give it.
Yeah.
Just really well executed, man. And kind of like what we're kind of describing with this pumpkin latte thing, we're just like everything's in place. You know, you're tasting all these things.
Yeah.
Kind of separately, but together in a good way. Mm-hmm. It was just really fun, enjoyable.
That sounds awesome. And that, I don't know, thinking about that and picking this beer up and maybe why I picked this up and seeing the Marzen, I think I realized I just often drink the same beers like all the time.
But
like,
you know,
I want the beer flavored beers. I'm there for the beer.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I'm missing that some of that craft beer funness that was happening where it's like, oh, maybe I want my beer to taste like peaches and whatever.
You want an over-the-top experience sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. But not all the time.
No. So I'm glad that the landscape is so rich.
Yeah.
You know.
But something like that, I would skip because I'm like, you know what? I'm here for, it's in the afternoon. I just want one. I want that. I want a green torch. I want a gossip.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I'm like,
oh, and then, you know, there is no shame. These are two packs to go. Mm-hmm. For $35.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah, and I think whoever was serving us was saying when they had it for sale, they do a good job of when they do those in our post.
Yeah.
You can just quietly walk in on a Wednesday and just try it on draft. Do they do this like every time they drop?
Oh shit. Okay.
So, but she's like, yeah, we were charging for like 6 ounces. We were charging like $15.
Oh.
So when you compare it to that. It's actually a...
Because you get the little thimble taste.
You know what I mean? You get a 12-ounce for roughly the 15, 16 bucks.
Oh, okay.
So...
You get a whole... It's on draft.
Oh, I'm sorry. No.
Oh.
So you get a two-pack to go for 35.
Yeah.
But then if they sell it on draft, you get 6 ounces mm-hmm. for 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Makes sense. So. But those days you could try it. No, you can't taste it.
It's gone now.
Oh, but on the Ozenark days, you could come in and taste it.
Yes.
Just get a taste.
You could get the small pour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can get the small pour. Interesting. Yeah, but it's usually gone by the end of the day.
Yeah, sure.
So, but they had cans to go still like 5 days later.
Mm, okay. Yeah. Lagertown's tasting pretty good. I tasted it last time I was there. I got it in the gift shop. I got the little taste because I was like, ah. Oh. Try it. It's always solid, right?
Yeah. I love that Hager though. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They do no wrong in most cases.
Yeah.
And then it's right next to Spiteful. If you don't like if Half Hager's too weird for you, or if there's too many people there, or if they close at 8, like they said that the Lagertown Fest was over by 8.
Oh shit.
Exactly. So you can go next door to Spiteful. Spiteful's open till like 11.
Right.
So really solid. They complement each other. I feel like that's a coordinated thing.
I think it works out. I think it helps Spiteful more than anything.
Yeah.
I think Spiteful is very good, but I don't think it's good enough to stand on its own.
They benefit, as anyone would, being literally next door to Half Acre.
Right. And having a cool space.
Oh, it's space is gorgeous. Space. Yeah. Some people prefer... I might be one of them. I might prefer the Spiteful space over the Half Acre space.
Yeah, I would agree there. But if I could have Half Acre beer at Spiteful.
Huh. Now we're cooking with gas.
Yeah. nice. Okay. So you did Half Acre. And what else did you have?
Oh, went up to Evanston for a proper Oktoberfest. This is the... Double clutch.
Right. Stein everything?
Yeah. It's the braided Stein that we had the last time went to Temperance.
Okay.
It's that one. So, you know, lagers is their thing. You know, they had a Maibach. They had a Sticky Alt, which I think is just like a brown ale. The lager version of a brown ale. Mm. And then they had smoked beer. A smoked Helles.
Nice. I'm like,
bring on the smoked Helles, first of all. And they had one of the few places that's doing both the Marzen and the Fest beer. Mm-hmm. So the Fest beer, you know, this is basically a lighter version of the beers served at Oktoberfest. The Marzen is like the browner version, the amber version. So try both of those.
All the different colors are welcome at Oktoberfest.
I'm saying, you know. I'm like, man, you know, let me get this Fest beer because I never see a Fest beer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just you know, you roll out the classics in fall, you know, and don't fuck it up. That's all you got to do. Now, we'll say this about the good folks at Double Clutch. they had a band. I think it was the Polkaholics. So they're dressed in their lederhosen, but they're doing like rock versions of some polka songs, and they're doing just like straight up Nirvana songs and shit.
That's funny.
It's actually pretty cool. A bunch of older guys dressed in like pink lederhosen, which is pretty great, with the guitar and the shoes matching. It's pretty funny.
Damn, okay.
but they have the Oktoberfest signage and the designs and stuff are the shape of the pretzel.
Yeah.
The actual, the pretzel we all know. But then when you order a pretzel, they say it's a pretzel. It's almost $17, but it's not a pretzel. It's pretzel sticks.
Oh.
Yeah. How do you feel about this? I mean, just tell me they're pretzel sticks because, first of all, the pretzel's $17. Why is a pretzel? I mean, maybe this is a grumpy old man pie.
I have a lot of cars to pay for.
The $17 pretzel is not a pretzel. It's pretzel sticks. Now, it's good.
Yeah. But
it ain't a pretzel.
I like seeing the pretzel, but the pretzel sticks are great for sharing. The pretzel is tough to share because everyone's like ripping off pieces.
Yeah.
But the pretzel sticks, because there's like four or five of them.
Yeah, you get a nice amount.
So then if you're there with a group or even just two people, you're just like, I got my own pretzel. Yeah. Like, we don't have to like keep ripping off pieces here.
Fair.
And sometimes then it's more evenly cooked, like sometimes pretzel shaped pretzels.
It's picturesque. It looks great. Yeah. And then you don't have to worry about, it's probably easier for the kitchen too. You can crank them out, probably crank them out more.
Making pretzels is tough.
Yeah.
Because Maeve and I made them for our White Elephant party one year. We did candy cane twisted. I dyed one pretzel thing red.
Yeah.
And then we candy caned them and turned them. It's a lot of work making pretzels and like trying to get the dough long enough, and then you gotta like make the pretzel shape.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I guess I shouldn't be like too hard on like these price points, because it just is what it is nowadays. You want quality, you gotta pay for it. You want a pretzel at $17, you want a 2-pack of delicious beer, but it's gonna be damn near $40.
I do think Double Clutch is a little, food is a little overpriced at Double Clutch.
This is why I brought it up.
I said it.
I like, need
to know. A year ago, we could play the tape back if I had someone who could go to the tapes.
Go to the tapes. Stat guy, go to the tapes for us.
Okay, so you had the Fest. Yeah, I love the Fest beer and Oktoberfest because I'm going to Riverlands on February 27th.
Yeah.
Not February, October 20th. No, September 27th.
Yeah.
And they do their Oktoberfest and Fest beer.
Yeah, so that's fun. Going to a place that's lager-focused, that cares about these styles, is just cool. You know, leaving Occupy Chicago, going not too far.
Yeah.
It was a good hang, man. Cool. That was like a Sunday.
Right.
The party was, it was like a Saturday or a Sunday. One of them.
Nice.
So it was a good hang.
And then I think you were saying you did the, did you beguile Dovetail?
No, that's coming up. Oktoberfest anniversary is coming up. I went to, I tried to go on this Kolsch run, and the plan was, since last week I went to, the Good Times, and tried the latest version of Doug's Kolsch, Metro Doug.
Yeah.
I'm like, how does this compare to the other Kolsches in town? So I didn't go to Zombie Metro out in Schiller Park, that place.
Okay.
But I ended up at Goose because they do
Sunday fun day.
They do on Sundays. They do Kolsch service.
Yeah,
they do Sunday Kolsch service.
How many Kolsches were in the tray?
Well, see, so theirs is like a traditional Kolsch service. So they come out with the tray and they bring you one, and then they bring you a card, and then if you're done with it, they'll bring you another one. So Dovetails is the one that's not traditional, because Dovetails bringing you all of them.
You can order that, but then upstairs they do Kolsch days where they do have the card thing and people are just bringing them around.
Ah, so they do a traditional version but you have to go upstairs to get it.
Yeah.
Okay, because like, I've done
it's
it.
It's not every day, it's certain days.
So that is Kolsch service. So my only experience with the rod and the tray was at Dovetail, and I just got to give you all of them.
Right.
You just buy $30 worth of Kolsch and you just pound them. But that's not traditional. Traditionally, you bring out one, and then
feels more American. You need the 30 pack, right?
I
need the 30 Kolsches, and let's go.
Listen, I had to look this up because I'm offended that I'm on the patio at Goose, glorious.
Got one,
and I got one.
Like, I'm already done.
6-ounce joint.
Come back.
There's 80 people out here. I'm never gonna get another one.
waving your card. Like, where's the meat guy? Yeah.
But I looked it up, and that's how it's supposed to go.
Okay.
Because I don't want to get too pissed. I'm like, somebody's doing it wrong. But now I'm glad we talked about it.
Yeah, Dovetail does the other one. But it's not like always well known. Sometimes I've gone there, and they're like, oh, Colts thing's upstairs. And
yeah.
Like, oh, and I was not prepared for that. So
yeah.
I stayed on here.
So Colts is a fun style, man. It's a hybrid style. I think it's the one at Good Times had a really light straw color, almost like a really really bright color, not like a deep gold, almost like a straw, like a really light color.
Okay.
But the Goose one had a really nice golden color, and it had a bigger hop presence, like those Noble hops, where they're earthy and they have like a crisp snap to
them.
Did
it taste like summertime? Because isn't summertime a Colts?
Yeah, that's exactly what it felt like. It was like, this is a really good beer. I was like, man, this is great. I'm like, shit, I don't know if it's better than them, but I'd like this one a lot. I might get this one the edge.
Whoa.
So I was excited about that. I'm like, listen, to get down to the bottom of it, I got to go to fucking Dovetail.
Yeah.
And so I left Goose, went to Dovetail, and got their Kolsch. And their Kolsch, I think it just came in the full nonic pint, the full 16 ounces.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, this is way different from the other two. Because this is way more expressive. For some reason, it tastes like lemon, and it's got like this really nice bouquet of like ripe fruit. And then when you drink it, it's kind of like, it tastes like all the other ones, but with deeper flavors. I can't explain it any other way.
So you're giving it to Dovetail?
Dovetail was like it was a better experience than the other two. I'm like, oh shit. When you have them all in a row, you're like, oh, these aren't just stupid Kolsches. They're like actually got some differences.
That's good, because like sometimes, you know, we've lined up these Oktoberfests, we've lined up these Irish Reds. They're like all the same.
And most of the time, yeah.
And so to hear the Kolsches go a little different. So.
Yeah, it was really fun just to see them all in a row. I kind of wish I'd have went out to Schiller Park to the good folks at God damn, why am I drawing a blank on this place? The place that bought the Rice to Metro.
Mm-hmm.
What's it called?
I don't know, I've been blanking all day. My brain, like, stopped working.
Yeah,
today.
I can't think of it. Oh, I wanted to go there just to do the full round, but, you know, I just stuck to the ones in the city, the ones that were easiest to get to, honestly.
You've said Zombie Metro so many times. That like,
or Weekend at Bernie's Metro is another good one. This is all, like, when they purchased the rights. This is all the, like, the Twitter and IG comment stuff. Yeah, all these little nicknames. But those are my two favorite.
I, like, can't. They did like the, not the gummy series, but they have the gummy bears.
They got a really nice place. They're in Schiller Park. I mean, they're doing good work. Short Fuse.
Oh, yeah.
Short Fuse. I thought this was a beer show.
this is a pumpkin spice latte show.
So, yeah, I think I still want to make it up to Short Fuse.
Okay.
And revisit Crust.
Nice.
The original Crust. The
original Crust. See what their cultures
are doing. See what these cultures are doing.
Nice. So those are all your stops?
I think so, man.
Okay. Yeah. I kept it light, went to Sox Park.
Right on.
Sunday game when they were playing the Yankees, the one game they won.
They beat the Yankees.
Yeah.
Nice.
So that was good. You know, basically, Maeve and I are good luck, so when we go to games, they often win. But we spent most of our time in the craft beer cage.
One downstairs.
Yeah.
Behind the outfield.
We were upstairs for, like, a beer. Then we went and waited in line for the kids' first Sox game thing.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Got a bucket hat for her, too.
There you go.
And then she fell asleep. And I'm like, well, I'm not going back to this seat. So we just went down to the craft beer cave and sat down there. I don't even remember what first beer I got, but then I was just drinking Leinenkugel's lime lager, like
it
lime
is the, lime. It is the Leinenkugel's craft beer lounge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was basically Green Torch. I'm like, this is what I want on a beautiful Sunday, although I'm kind of inside.
Yeah.
And yeah, let's go.
Okay. So it's Leinenkugel's, not Lagunitas.
Leinenkugel's.
Okay,
sorry, yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
Does Lagunitas exist anymore?
No, but in the pre-show you were
I
like...
I said Lagunitas.
And I was like, wait, Lagunitas got a lime?
Right, that would be like a 9% lime beer.
You'd be stumbling up these fucking stairs.
No, it was a limey lime. And I was like, I'm kind of in for this.
All right.
Because I don't know, there's something like the selection in the craft beer cave is great.
Yeah.
But it's also the same, and it's been the same for like three seasons.
There's a lot of illusion of choice, too. If you look at some of those brands, that you, the ones you never heard of before, they're probably like Miller brands.
Right. I was just like, I don't know. Like, do I want beer for baseball? For the picture, but
yeah.
I don't even remember what I got. Oh, I think I got like a, either I got like Moore's or something I don't usually get.
Yeah.
I got.
Which is kind of, you know, when I go, I get Blue Island and I get Pipeworks. Mm-hmm. Or the beer for baseball. I usually try. I seek those out.
Okay.
Or maybe something from Pollyanna, just stuff that I know is going to be at this place, and I probably wouldn't get otherwise.
Right. Yeah. And so that's kind of what I did. But then the limey lime, I was like, it's hot. I want something a bit more refreshing, easy drinking. And so I had like two or three of those.
Time and place, man.
Yeah.
You know, time and place.
That was good. And then afterwards, we went over to Mars.
Okay.
The original Mars. Kitchen was oddly closed that day, but had a beer in the back room. I don't remember what I had, but it was good. Just hanging out in the arcade room. That's really only like two games.
Hmm.
And yeah, it was a good time. It was pretty busy as you would expect, like after a Sox game.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are showing up there.
Last game of the season is Sunday. I think I'm gonna go down there. Okay. Maybe bring the grill. Nice. Maybe tailgate. I mean, I'm not doing shit else.
It seems like a lot of people just tailgate and don't even go to the game.
Oh, for
like
sure.
You just pay for parking and hang out
there,
right?
Yeah, and just hang out with the Chicago sports bums.
Okay.
Yeah, there's usually like a sponsored bourbon tasting and they grill.
I like parking in that like far lot too.
I'm thinking the lot B, the one which is right behind the entrance.
Yeah, I park in like the
G.
Yeah.
Remote parking.
Yeah,
like not really attached to the park, but like the next street.
It's like
across the street,
the viaduct.
Yeah,
yeah, and it's usually cheaper and it's easy to get into because you're just like driving around all the time and you're like, I don't know, get all messed up because they're like, this is closed, you can't go here, turn
for
around,
sure.
And so
yeah,
I just go to that one, and then you're easy get out, go to Mars.
That part is true. Yeah, last week in the summer, so. I think I am going to go Sunday. We'll see.
So, but those were, I think, my only two stops.
Nice.
But a little Southside stop.
You know.
Then next weekend, going out to Riverlands.
I mean, Chicago plus the burbs is a, there is no shortage of stuff to get into if you're down to go.
Right.
You know? Yeah. I think we do a good job. I think you kind of lead the charge on saying, hey, this is the region. Get after the region. And I'm kind of like, he's right. I need to see what the fuck's out here. But when you look at it like that, you end up exploring more over 12 months.
Well, you're in Chicago. It could take you an hour to get to Wicker Park.
Yep.
From over here in like Irving, Porch Park. Or you can go an hour to at most of these burbs.
Yeah, that's very true. So, that's pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
We do have some new stuff.
Oh, yeah. District Brew Yards, RIP.
Yeah, they got two locations, Wheeling and then the one near Chicago Brewing District in Westtown.
Mm-hmm.
I think the original story was that the Wheeling one was closing. And then by the time it got out, it got updated quickly to say, I think we're going to close both of them.
Right, but there's no plan to close the Chicago one. They're going to stop brewing in October.
Hmm.
Sell that beer and then sell beer and wine and other stuff until they figure out what they're doing with the space.
Yeah. This is affecting quite a few breweries because the Wheeling location had
five.
Yeah. And then Liquid Love was there and Histrionic, right?
Liquid Love was there?
Liquid Love moved in recently, maybe like 3 months ago.
Oh, did they close that other spot?
Yeah, I remember because they had a haggle with the landlord. The landlord didn't want anything to do with them, so they resurfaced that.
That spot sucked in. I never went, but when it was the...
Prairie Crafts.
When it was that other place.
Prairie Crafts.
Oh, Prairie Crafts.
Yeah, the Prairie Crafts guys were jerking around the Liquid Love guys.
Yeah.
And then they left.
But then I thought the Liquid Love guys were like very like Trump MAGA. people.
I don't know. I know that.
Maybe speaking incorrectly, but I thought there was
That's the rumor.
Some stuff there.
That's the rumor. Yeah. They got picked up at Wheeling. Wheeling just DYB.
Did someone get kicked out or they had six?
I think they just added them. Yeah.
Okay. So it was Licked with Love, Hysteronic,
yep.
Twisted Hippo,
yeah.
Burnt City, Around the Bend.
Yep.
And
I think he touched them all. Right? I think he touched them all. Because Burnt City is...
Casa Humilde.
Oh, yeah. How can we forget about Casa Humilde?
This is the one that it affects the least because they have their own space.
They got their own space. They moved into the old... they moved into the place in Forest Park. They moved into Exit Strategy.
Right.
You know.
Is this the end of Twisted Hippo now?
I mean, this is... Twisted Hippo's spot famously... burned to the ground in a freak accident. Oh,
famously.
I mean, it's
the right word for like.
I mean, notoriously. I mean, this is
tragically.
Oh, tragically. Sorry. Yeah, that is a better word. Tragically. I mean, this is people's livelihood, so we're not meaning to fuck around with it. But you know, it's a notorious story about how their place burned to the ground, and you know they resurfaced, and everyone was so happy for them because they resurfaced at DYB. Yeah. So this affects them and a bunch of other guys that didn't have their own space. We used to think, and this was 3 years ago that Wheeling opened, I always thought that this was like the future of the beer industry. It's just like, hey, let's just all kind of come together and collaborate.
Co-op.
And do the co-op spaces. Thing. Yeah, especially in a space where you pour your own beer and it's a proper beer hall, right? It seemed like a concept that was like new and fresh and like a nice alternative to just opening your own space. Look at a Pilot Project. It was not too much different from Pilot Project. Pilot Project's an incubator where the expectation is you leave after a few months after you get off your feet. But DYB was very similar to this.
Right. I think I was talking to someone about Pilot Project and District Brew Yards. District Brew Yards and Burnt City have been going for a long time. They had that Jay's Potato Chip Factory Brewery.
Yep.
They had the place on Lincoln.
Yep.
Then District Brew Yards, then District Brew Yards Wheeling.
And we're talking Burnt City. In the beginning. Burnt City, and then these other guys were invited, basically.
But this is Burnt City's like capital, right?
Yeah. I think they're like co-owners with the...
I think they've been in it longer than Pilot Project.
Yep. They've been around since the early 2010s.
They burned through this money. Pilot Project hasn't burned through all their money and been like, maybe this isn't working.
Yeah, Pilot Project just expanded to their third location in Wrigleyville.
Right.
And then they bought an old, they may have bought it, they're occupying at least an old Miller location up in Milwaukee. And then, of course, they have their location at Logan Square across from the theater.
Right, so they're newer. And I don't think they had a lot of money because they came from the music industry, right?
We had them on the show. This actually be a good time to go back and visit that pod.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the Sean Curry pod.
But yeah, I just think Burnt City finally reached a like, this didn't, we didn't get the third location now of District Brew Yards.
Yeah.
I think this isn't working, right?
Yeah.
That'd be my outside take.
We don't know the financials.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know the burn rate. We don't know how much it costs to get in. We don't know any of that.
But they're selling that building, so they must have... Did they buy that building? It was
The old Ram space. This sounds like they're trying to sell it for 3.6, according to one of the... I think maybe the Cranes article.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which seems cheap.
I mean, what's 3.6 nowadays, right?
But
to close the other place, too, means like, hey, something's up.
Yeah. And then... I was mentioning to you, and I was talking to some other people about these closing. A few people didn't know they brewed beer at these places. You walk past the one in Chicago, you see the brew house, or you can't really see the brew house. You see the tanks, which I guess is the brew house, but you see the brews.
Yeah, because when you walk in, it's like the to-go shop.
Yeah, I guess brew house isn't the right word. Like Haymarket, you can see the brew house. You could see the whole, I don't know, back the brew house, the tanks, like everything.
Yeah, like the whole operation. Brewing and fermenting.
And then in Wheeling, you can't see the brew house, but you see the tanks there. So it's like, what do you think's over there if they don't brew the beer? I think they just thought that this was a place that sold different beer, like a Yard House.
Oh.
But you pour your own beer.
Or what's the one in Schaumburg where the beer comes in on tanks and they ferment it on site, but it's brewed somewhere else. You know what I'm talking
Gordon
about?
Gordon Biersch. No?
No.
Oh, that's
no.
That's right.
This is a...
Rock-bottom?
No. It's... Fuck. Yeah, we're doing bad with that today.
Yeah.
Oh, but it could be one of those where it's a chain and the beer comes in on tanks. And sure, it's a brewery because we fermented it here, but we brewed it somewhere else.
Yeah, Lucky Dog?
No, not Lucky Dog. Damn, what's the name of this joint? I've been to it too. And I was like, I'm not coming back here.
But yeah, Lucky Dog has their own beer, but yeah. They don't really brew it there.
So they thought it was something like that because those things do exist. And, you know, people have brew in the name and then they don't make beer.
Right, yeah. Which makes sense. You go to, like, these breweries, like... Alarmist and we can't go Pipeworks or Half Acre or like these are breweries.
A lot of times when you go to a brewery, there is not this multiple brand thing going on.
Right, and you don't even see the tanks when you go to most of these breweries. But that's their place. Like there wasn't a brewery called District Brew Yards.
Correct. It's their place, and it's these other places you named. It's their place because that's the only beer you can buy.
Right.
You buy the Alarmist brand of beer.
I don't think most people know Pilot Project brews their own beer then.
There's no Pilot Project
anymore.
There was Pilot Project beer
on tap where it was called like how
their house brand. They have a house brand.
It's called Brewer's Kitchen.
Yes.
But they used to call it just Pilot Project.
Okay.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think it makes more sense. People don't know. They just think it's a place that serves a bunch of different beer.
Yeah. So, it sounds like, for whatever reason, it was either really expensive to run or, you know, it's very difficult to, we call it, you know, finding your tribe, the people that you know are going to come to this place. Mm. And that's sometimes hard to do. So, but whatever the reason, we're not saying these are the reasons, but for whatever reason, they had two locations and they're deciding to get out of both of them.
Yeah. Was Casa Humilde brewing out of that space?
Yeah.
They were. Did the beer taste different? Because I always wonder... Like District Brew Yards, it's all brewed by the Burnt City people.
That's in the city. But then remember when we interviewed them in Wheeling, they said this other system's different, so we're going to have another guy make
it. Right, but it's one, it's like a head brewer, so like.
Yes.
Around the Bend's not coming in and brewing their beer. And
yeah.
Twisted Hippo wasn't, they were giving recipes and maybe helping.
Everyone's not taking turns on the brew house. There's one dude, and he's brewing for every brand in the house.
So all the beer. Does taste the same.
Yeah.
Well, which is good and bad, right?
I mean, what do you mean, like the level of beer being made?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
But if I was gonna,
that's the point.
They often did a good job not having the same beer, but if seasonal, if I went and had the Around the Bend Oktoberfest and then had the Burnt City Oktoberfest, they are very close.
Okay.
Like you, but I don't know if they did both have one, but. Similar styles often taste it like. It's kind of the same. You just added raspberries to this one, you know?
Yeah, Casa Humilde decided, like, hey, we're going to do these events. We're going to sponsor block parties in Pilsen, and we're going to host an event on a farm in Joliet and have, like, a grill. And then we're going to go take over the exit strategy space. They seem to be a crew that was... The dream of the, you know, Five Rabbit, that I think Casa Humilde kind of executed on that a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it seemed like that was their plan from the beginning because you look up and Casa Humilde is everywhere in comparison to all the other brands at DYB.
But I thought Dan from Around the Bend was going to do that. And he seemed like he was. And then I don't know what happened. Like it just didn't.
This shit is hard to do.
It's hard to do. Yeah.
This shit is hard to do. I mean, you know.
I agree. I'm not saying.
I was going to
it was probably a better idea he didn't because it may not have worked out, but...
We go to some Mexican joints around here, and it's like Modelo, Corona, Casa Humilde. And a little hole-in-the-wall taco joint. Like, they were just... The point was to just sell a ton of beer.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that sucks. What's your favorite... do you have a favorite District Brew Yards memory? A favorite DYB moment? As we say, farewell and Godspeed to these guys.
Favorite memory. I don't know. It's just, it was always nice to just be able to show up there and just hang out. Yeah. Like, we often did motion graphics meetups there, and you could just show up. People might not drink, but they could show up, and then there was no server to be like, oh, I need another beer. Who do I tip? How does this work? Everyone's like, you're on your own.
Yeah.
Figure it out. And I think the space worked great for, like, large groups like that.
Yeah.
And so I don't really have a favorite. Do you have a favorite?
I mean, I don't know. The launch, I was really excited about the launch party that they had, because, you know, you got to see the Burn City guys in a different light. They're like, hey, we've got this. We have this associate. And instead of us moving around from, you know, Lincoln Park next to Delilah's to fucking 95th Street to the J's, now we feel like we've got a stable footing in a space that we can share with people that we like. And it's a concept that no one else is really doing over here from a brewing standpoint. I was excited for them. So just understanding how, you know, this was like their third act.
Yeah.
You know, so just hanging out with them and having sharing that moment with them was pretty cool, because you never really saw them together. And then, you know, it was just like their thing seems to have some turbulence, but they keep finding the like the improbable next act.
Right.
And so that part was fun. That moment was fun for me. So.
Yeah. The Chicago one, the food was always, it was good in the beginning and then just became disappointing. The like rise and fall of Lilikoo is like crazy, where it's like they have all these sauces, which are very good. But then the barbecue just became blah.
Like forgettable?
Yeah.
Okay.
And now, you know, after they left their space in Wicker Park, you're just kind of like, I don't care about you, Lilikoo. Like, I don't know what you guys are doing, and it's not that interesting. And now you're just at, like, a pop-up. You're a pop-up, in a sense, at District Brew Yard. So
yeah.
I think they could have did a better job with the food, and I think that probably turned off a lot of people, because the Wheeling one had food options. This one only had barbecue.
Interesting.
And you're like, what if I don't want barbecue?
Well, yeah, now you got to go somewhere else.
Right, but you couldn't, like, bring in your own food. So.
Yeah, so the Chicago place is up for sale. These places hardly ever have any luck with the new tenant. Am I missing something there? But like, when a brewery moves into a space that was occupied by another brewery, it most of the time it doesn't go well.
No.
The exception to that is the brewery we never discuss, Moody Tongue. How long have they been in Beta Brazil space?
At this point, they're a restaurant. They're not a brewery.
This is my point. Aside, and that's an outlier. Other than that, there's no track record of a brewery occupying another brewery space in Chicago, and it worked out. Yeah, it almost never works out.
If you told me today Moody Tongue stopped brewing 2 years ago, and someone else is brewing their beer, I'd be like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. And they're not doing a lot of beer. They're doing like 1,500, 2,000 barrels. That's equivalent to what like Wild Onion is doing.
Right.
They don't sell a ton of beer. But yeah, because the Chicago location is for sale, I'm like, I wonder if someone's going to just buy it as a turnkey brewery. Because that seems to never work out. There's endless examples of it, you know?
I don't even know who would be big enough. Like, it's a big space. I don't even know who would... That's a big brewery. I don't know who could even take it over that would need that at this point. Who's crushing it that you're like, oh, yeah, I need more Beguile? Maybe Maybe Beguile if they're like, we're done with a Great Central. But that maybe be it.
Yeah, we'll see.
And then the other one, 18 Strength, all their equipment is up for sale. So
it sounds like they might be going the, some people call it right-sizing model. I think, 21st Amendment, I think they're done selling beer out in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the brand's going to live on, and they're just going to try to contract brew. The same thing down in Miami with J.W. Wakefield. They're like, we're done having a space where we make our own beer, but our brand will still be alive. We'll just try to brew somewhere else.
Okay.
I don't know what's going on at 18th Street, but it sounds like if you're getting rid of your equipment, you for sure don't want to brew anymore. Maybe you're having your brand live somewhere else again. Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
That's good for 21st Amendment. The name is amazing.
Yeah.
So I hope the beer continues.
Yeah.
You know, Hell Eye Watermelon is like, has a, I don't know, a place in my heart.
You know, yeah, sentimental value. Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, it sounds like they're getting out of the equipment business. And, you know, they have a distillery right next door. So you've got this massive space. Half of it, maybe more than half of it, is brewing and a kitchen. And then another quarter of it is a distillery. So maybe you're just trying to right size and see how you can take better advantage of this space.
Yeah.
Right? Barrels take up space. Breweries take up space.
Yeah.
Maybe you got something else planned for the space. Okay. So we shall see.
I didn't even finish one of this, and I liked it. Yeah. But I hit the, like, I think the 10 to 12 ounce of it. Did you?
Yeah, I drank
it. Took care of yours.
Yeah.
And I'm good with that.
Okay.
I didn't, maybe I'm excited for it, but I'm not a 16 ounce excited for it.
Yeah, and there's no flexibility with the Pipeworks guys. You could have put it in bomb. You put bombers. I think they still do bombers. But maybe all they do is 16 ounce four packs.
Yeah.
They might have got rid of the barely.
Because now I have these two other ones that will be shared at like some party at some point. But it's a fun beer. I think it's worth trying. But without a space Pipeworks, this sucks.
Yeah.
It's a commitment.
It's hard to tell your story when you have no space. But then also, it's a gamble. We talked about three spaces probably closing.
Yeah.
So it's a gamble too.
And we go back all the time. I don't think anyone, under 35 knows Pipeworks Brews in Chicago.
If you got into beer the last 5 years, you probably...
Last 10 years.
Maybe 2015.
You don't know who Pipeworks is. You just know they're a brewery. They could be like, they could be anybody.
Man, I want to disagree. I'll say 8. But yeah, but your point is well taken.
Yeah. All right, anything else before we get out of here?
Man, I think that's it. Oktoberfest over at Off Color this weekend. Okay. Oktoberfest over at Cruz Blanca this weekend.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mexican Oktoberfest.
Yeah. Beer de Garde's for all. 5 varietals of Beer de Garde.
All right. Take care.
Cheers.